There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to the morning sickness. It is 5:45. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady Bogan, Brett Fesley, Big Dick Toledo, off and running another glorious, perfect day. Now, it's going to be hot now, but still, yesterday was ridiculous. Brady was out there. You went to Big Boss Man golfing, and he got blown off the course like, you know, like the end of Caddyshack, for God's sakes.
Two different worlds.
Yeah, it was great. It was
very nice at the beginning, and then all of a sudden.
The wrath of Tripp.
Yeah. There's like Caddyshack.
I don't want to play anymore. East winds blow. West winds blow. Kill the rabbit.
I don't think the heavy winds are going to come in for quite a while, sir.
Yeah. And you tried to finish?
Yeah.
Did you guys do that last couple?
We're like, let's go in. And then 15 minutes later, it's just.
Yeah.
Glorious.
Golf in bad weather is like a bad relationship. Like the first few holes are great, and then you realize the weather's starting to get a little rocky, and you still try to trudge through those last couple holes, even though you really hate what's going on. You just don't want to tell the other person you're the pussy that wants out. who was the one who opted out?
I said when we finished up 16, I go, what do you think?
Yeah.
Goes, I think it's over, Brady. It's been a nice run, but you know what? Let's call our lawyers.
What's the score?
I don't see us going on much longer.
So we went to the Stag Bar.
All right. And you had a mimosa? You and Tripp had a couple of mimosas?
I went deep, man. I had two Michelob Ultras.
Oh, my God. You lost weight?
Yeah.
How'd you make it into
that? Good on you. Yeah. What are you doing here? I want to party with you, cowboy.
I'm still feeling it, man.
I'm impressed, Brady. Two Mick Ultras at once? You're going in with
both
arms.
Well, we strung them out over an hour.
Well, everybody's lost their minds over. Well, I got to start. I wanted to start the whole show by saying, let's get a little rally in the valley. How about, like, we've got to start pushing for this Suns team because I've been watching again. I've been a Suns fan since I was little. I lost love for them, having worked there, not for them, but with the Suns. And it started my dream podcast idea of all your heroes are assholes. Because when you meet the guys behind the scenes, it is not a pleasant experience to know pro athletes. At their workplace, there's not a whole lot of fun going on for you as a member of the media or anything else. And I know they hate the media, so I took it with a grain of salt, but I'm like, I don't like any of these people. How come I'm cheering for them? I was a Suns fan, and I mean, I was nuts. It probably at the time in the late 80s, early 90s, all the way through the 90s, really, that was my sport. Like, basketball had taken over baseball and football.
There was a good buzz.
I loved football.
91.
It was crazy. But as a Suns fan, I can't even imagine it. Like, right now, even saying it, it's like, how? Like, it took over my desire for Steelers stuff. And you've seen my Steelers love. Oh, yeah. It's a little bit strange. And that Steelers love was...
Now you're fixing another room for a Suns room,
well, no, maybe? But my Steelers stuff was still as high then as it is now. But the Suns were, like, my passion. Like, I was nuts about them. I met them. That passion quickly died very fast. And then I started to kind of just like basketball. And then they had the strike and everything. And so I stopped. And then Sarver took over the team, and it was hard to like them at all. This particular team, I don't know if they're douchebags or not, people-wise. I would assume yes, because all pro athletes are pretty much dicks in and amongst each other. And that's the only way I knew them. But they're fun. And they are one game back of the Utah Jazz, who they play tomorrow. So... just having been a part of this city and knowing what how weird it was that radio, TV, every media outlet was just nuts about the local Suns team when it was going big, I kind of want to be the one that says so. Like, I want to follow. I want to push. I want this to be a big deal because this is a cool thing. Like, you know, the Cardinals get going. None of us are Cardinal fans, but it is kind of neat to have the Cardinals playing well when your city and your team's going. But they don't need the push. They've got it. Something about the Suns need to be reminded that in 1993 when they went to the finals and then, you know, 2005 and when they were okay with Steve Nash, a good team, couldn't play defense, the city got behind them. There's probably a whole new Phoenix-sized addition of people to Phoenix that have no idea what that felt like.
Well, back then there was nobody. There was that was the only game in town, really.
That was it.
I mean, it was the Cardinals
just got here.
Yeah,
and the Roadrunners had support, which was crazy, and they were fun. But I mean, nobody cared. But the Suns were the only game in town. But you think about it, maybe
then the Rattlers had a little before the whole list.
We were a weird city that grabbed onto anything that was local, and now I don't think we do it. Like it's very transient, and that's because of television. You're now allowed to get your hometown team here, and it's hurt hometown support. But, what do we have? Like
am
a million?
I in on it? On the Suns thing?
If you want to be.
Well, I guess I am, kind of. I follow them on Instagram.
Brady, you can't ask that question.
Well, because I follow them on Instagram, I just see Suns win.
Yeah, you're practically Jake Paul.
I didn't know they played last night.
Well, then you're not in.
The Insta came in and said they won.
No.
I'm like,
you have to kind of involve yourself. You didn't get excited. See, I don't want
that's
him
no fan.
Never mind. You know what? I'll keep it down because I don't want that ever again.
But that started when you started talking about it.
Oh, well, see? Then I am an influencer. Yeah. I am Jake Paul. I should knock you out real quick. It's just one of the...
I did start following him more.
1.5 million people lived here in the early 90s. We got like 4.5 now. So there's a load of people who never really knew what it was to have the city fired up about the Suns. We're a basketball town. People don't believe that, but that's true. This is a basketball city, and it is nuts when they get going. And this is a team definitely worth watching. I think in my time of watching this stuff, it's the best Suns team that's ever taken the court. That's saying a lot. We had the Barkley years and everything else, and everybody remembers the superstar nostalgia years. They didn't win anything. This is the best team. We might have – think about this. They have Coach of the Year, MVP, and definitely, definitely coach of the year, I think. And you start looking at Chris Paul as MVP, and nobody saw that coming at all, me included. I thought maybe he'd be a catalyst to help them along. And a team that may actually make some noise in the playoffs. We'll see. And the fun part is I'll get emails with people going, they're never going to get past the Lakers. Okay, here we go. We're talking Suns playoff basketball, and the reason I'm bringing it up is they clinched a spot last night, no lower than the sixth seed. If they blow it from here on out, and they're not going to. But and they play the Jazz tomorrow. And if they beat them, they have the best record in basketball. People aren't paying enough attention to this. This is a big deal.
I did notice that LeBum had a high ankle sprain. He's still using that out.
Well.
But that makes sense.
Rumors about the Lakers are that they're resting little minor injuries and things like that. And they're fading. They're now going to be one of those teams that has this play-in game if they don't pick it up here in a little bit. And they're going to maybe get bounced in the first. But it would be interesting if the Suns could take that top spot and see the Lakers early on. Lakers will probably end up a little higher than that. But they're messing around with like, we'll just turn it on for the playoffs. We'll get our team healthy. And they're not.
Don't always work.
It hardly ever works. I mean, it has.
Yeah.
But very rarely can you rest an entire season and then all of a sudden just turn it on. If anybody can, it would be them. They're loaded. But
I was wondering if just LeBron was kind of laying low just with what has been transpired over the last couple of weeks.
He's had gotten his feet into some hotter water than normal with no, he's not laying low. They've been doing that all year. They've been playing this game all year.
Kind of impressed, Brady, not standing up for Bron being the OH guy.
Bron's your Ohio guy. Yeah.
Look, when, you know.
Bring it. Come on. Step it.
Out of bounds like he did.
How so? In what ways, Brady? Well, how did he step out of bounds?
He got that one wrong by making a comment that was incorrect.
About?
About the knifing in Ohio.
Yeah. But what'd he do that pissed you off? Bring it.
I didn't agree with what he was saying.
That's right. Ohio.
Running his mouth.
That's right. Running his mouth about what he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Things like that don't happen in Ohio.
He threw that picture of that cop up and said, you're next.
Yeah.
Accountability. And then he took it down, which is the lack of accountability. Plus, he's the phoniest man in sports. Mr. Equality and equal rights and everything else. I got four deals with China right now. Go yourself, LeBron. That's what Brady's saying right now.
Damn right.
Brady's saying, I got a contract with a company that employed children to build my product. You, LeBron.
I like that part.
Yeah, I do too, because it's cheaper shoes. Yeah. And it's not my country.
Business.
I'm not a big fan of that. Speaking of not our country, did you see what's going on in India? They had an interview yesterday on the news, on one of these weird sideways news channels, with a gravedigger. They're on 24-hour shifts. Hospitals are dropping bodies off for them to just bury as fast as they can bury them And now they're like, we can't keep up with the bear. We can't dig holes fast enough. They're doing pyre fires in parking lots. We'll throw them in.
Yep.
And that's the good thing about polytheism. Throw them in the fire. He's coming back anyway. Don't worry about it. He's got like 100 lives. He's good. The body doesn't matter. Just torch it. And they're doing, everybody
beautiful
bitches.
Beautiful rainbow flames.
Look, everybody that bitches about America and how crappy it is here and all this nonsense about, oh, hey, we suck. Well, think about that. Through all of the COVID, through how, as much as you hated Trump or Biden or however anything was handled, did we ever have a group of people say, you know what we should do? Start a massive fire here at the Target parking lot and just throw bodies in. And everybody goes, thumbs up to that. Let's get rid of these bodies. No. And there's billions of them. They're getting sick fast. They're in trouble.
They also don't have, 3,000 people living in the parking lot.
That's true. That's right. And some of them don't even have COVID. They're just throwing bodies in. Mumbai.
But bring out your dad.
Yeah, it's basically that.
That's what it is.
Not quite dead yet. He'll be dead in a minute. Yeah, it was crazy. So I was looking at that, and this guy's like, we cannot keep up with the digging 24 hours a day, and we cannot keep up. So we've started this fire over here. We just throw them in. Oh, my God. That seems like a reasonable. No families care? No, we don't. No, here's what. We don't care. Just throw him into fire and make this problem stop. It's crazy. They're just dumping them in fires in parking lots.
Well, they can't social distance there at all. They live on top of each other.
Indian, right? It's just horrifying. People would say that. I'll never forget that eye doctor that told me, you like to travel? I'm like, I guess so. I want to do it more when I have more time. And he goes, never go to India unless you like stinky things and poverty. I'm like, oh, so really? And he goes, yeah, they got some beautiful stuff, but it's surrounded by poverty. And you got to get like 1,000 shots. I have zero interest in ever visiting India. And we had that Veer Das, the comedian.
Yeah, he was talking
about Veer Das. He's from India. He's like a huge superstar there. And he was basically saying, it's beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful spots.
He was talking about Mumbai in particular.
He liked the big city, but he's like, it's gorgeous. You'd love it. I would not. I would absolutely not love it. China and India, off my traveling list. There's too many people. I don't like going to Buck and Ryder when the lobby's full. You think I want to go to China or India? I'm not going to restaurants. I'll drive past a drive-thru with three or more cars. I'm not a big fan of crowds. I don't like the idea. And that's the whole place.
Any place you go is like a concert.
Yeah. We won't go to Slide Rock. That's like India light. Like, they crap in the river in India as like a daily thing. Here, Slide Rock, you have to travel to where the poop is in the water. No, thank you. We got it made. I'm happy here. Sun's coming up here. Got the Jazz tomorrow. I don't have to worry about a fire at the Target parking lot with a bunch of people in it. I worry about it, but it won't be sanctioned. That's for sure. It won't be like a Deucey standing there with his thumbs up. We're taking care of the issue. They're just handling it. And then tonight we got the NFL draft, which is the new Oscars and great. And who did Tommy Tuberville coach? Was it Louisville? I don't remember who. The old coach, he came out yesterday. He ran for governor or something. He might have won, too, or senator. I don't know. But he mouthed off yesterday. He goes, all right.
Kentucky, maybe.
All you kids coming out in the draft, nobody wants some know-it-all. Nobody wants a big mouth divider. Come up there and take your jersey and your hat, say thank you, and move on. He's basically saying what everybody's thinking. We don't want to hear from some 21-year-old kid who just signed a $40 million deal about how the world's got to be different. You shut your mouth, go play football, son. Tommy nailed it. Yeah, Tuberville went off, and he's getting heat for it, of course. Stick to what you know, he kept saying. You let people who do their jobs. Do their jobs. They do what they do. You do what you do. You grab a ball. You run with that ball, son. Shoot. He's just like Coach Clark. Nobody looking for an outspoken person on their team. We're too divided already. Shut your mouth. And so of course, everybody in the article that goes on and says, Trevor Lawrence is the first pick, and he has he's marched with Black Lives Matter movements and stuff. Okay, let's cut to the brass tacks of that. Do you think Trevor Lawrence was going to be outspoken the other way with all the money that he's looking at? Do you think he's going to risk being the first-round draft pick and the massive amounts of cash and endorsements that are coming his way by saying, you know what I'm not for? This whole BLM thing. Of course he's playing the game, and he's probably for it. He's probably, like, means it. But if he didn't, he wouldn't have said otherwise. He's going to keep his mouth quiet. He's going to play the best game to the money there is. And that's what athletes used to do in the olden days. That's why we liked them. That's why we loved them. Back in the day, they placated us by saying, I love this. Be like Mike. Here's some Gatorade. We love that.
Those are $6 million words now.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah. You know, one thing that could happen today. It one statement today could
crush
just...
crush your draft status. But now the teams will get in trouble if you're like, well, he's a little too outspoken for us. You don't want a person who speaks their mind? Frankly, in football, no, not really. It rarely works. I look at Antonio Brown and say to myself, he was pretty outspoken. I mean, it was personal stuff. He was loud, divisive. It ruins teams. Big, loud dudes ruin teams.
Not only that, the players don't last that long. A handful.
No. But football's one of those
Johnny
things.
Johnny Football.
The last thing I don't know anybody who's different Manziel. About that. The last thing you want on your team, Cardinal fan, anybody else, is we got a good political voice on our squad that really mouths off about all the right issues. Do you don't have anybody on the Bears you're like, man, I wish he was just a little more active in politics?
No.
No fan. No fan. Two things fans don't do. Sit and watch and go, you know what I wish? There was a girl calling this game. Thank you. And the second thing is I wish our team was more political. Even people who are for it don't wish their team was more political.
I've said it before. It's because that's your escape. That's you tune out the world when you're watching your football, your baseball, whatever.
And I totally get that they're people with opinions and they want their political voice heard. But do it on a platform outside of sports. You can use your – now more than ever with your stupid social media, you can be that way. But the last thing the fans want – and I don't know why we're trying to be sold otherwise because the ratings are down, even in basketball and everything else, what I was just saying was fun – is everybody's kind of – and football had its spike again. But everybody acts like we want this. The fans don't want this. Even young fans, nobody wants their team to be super political over being good on the field. Like, if your team sucks but is on all the right sides of politics, you're not happy. It's not like if the Bears, who, you know, kind of sucked last year, but you're like, man, oh, man, they were all over it with the social activism, though. I mean, I'll take an 8-8 season for a team this socially active.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants it.
No.
That hurt us, the social activism from Vontaze and Pac-Man Jones. I mean,
the Bengals?
The political stance hurt our squad.
Those guys were active outside of the team mentality.
It's a different kind of action.
Yeah.
But
I get that there's going to be movements. I get that there's going to be people saying stuff. But the last thing you want is a socially active team. You just don't. Look what happened with the Saints last year when Drew Brees said, I don't think this is a necessary. And the whole team crashed down on him. Like, you will comply or what? And then you get a socially active squad.
Time to backpedal.
Yeah, and then you start backpedaling. And then you put guys in bad positions. I agree. I don't like the shut up and dribble idea, but I do kind of like the idea of I don't want my team to be that socially active. You can have your opinion, but let's not make it so it bleeds into everything I have to agree with or else. I don't want my Steelers to be super socially active. They started stepping in hot water constantly with, you know, Villanueva going out for the thing with the anthem a couple of years ago, and the rest of the team had agreed that they would stand behind him, and they stood too far behind him, so all the pictures were him alone. It's like you walked into it. It's just a united front of, in this locker room, we can say whatever we want together. Out there, we're just gray, nameless faces presenting the laundry. Afterwards, you can be a personality, but not during.
You know who kind of gets away with it, but there's no political statements or anything like that, but he's pretty out there socially, is Gronk over the years with these partying and, you know, all
socially.
The stuff that could be.
Yeah, but not like socially active.
But even sometimes that stuff where a part, you know, something happens.
If he's not performing or if it's getting in the way and he's still doing it, that's the Johnny Manziel thing. But that's different. We want our players to be fun. We want them to have personality. We don't want them to drag in their belief system out loud, bigger than their game. I think that's what Tommy Tuberville's talking about with all these guys coming out of college. None of you have accomplished anything. The last thing anybody wants right now is to hear from you about how their lives need to be different. You just got drafted by an NFL franchise. You're living the dream of 98% of all men. And the 2% of like Larry guys who don't like watch football or anything. Ben yesterday downstairs, I was talking with Dom about the Teddy Bridgewater trade. And Ben said, are you ever worried that you have so much sports knowledge in your head, the both of you, that you're missing out on all sorts of other stuff? And I'm like, there's plenty of room in there for porn, Ben. Settle down. I can compartmentalize the two most important things in my life, which are sports and pornography. Lunatic. And there's 2% in there for other stuff, but that's really all I need. Sexual information, sports, food. I need food, also food, but that's it. That's all I need. Oh, I need this.
In that
this
order,
remote
right?
control. Yeah, in that order.
And this paddleball game.
If you're going to take those three things, I know Bray's got a different answer, but maybe you're with me. If they said we're taking one of those three things away, which one would you want taken away?
Out of food.
Food. I'd take food away.
I would
survive
on
insure. And like you could IV me up some stuff and like I'll never eat again, but I'll survive. There's ways around it. There's ways around it. That's it. But he's right. And tonight.
I'm close to that point of.
Not wanting food anymore?
If you had to take it away. Because I'm getting to that point where I've tried so much. I've eaten so much.
You've stockpiled.
I've got enough in a couple of lifetimes.
I've
lived there. I've done it.
So you say that you've stockpiled enough food that maybe now it's time to have new interests?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm not there yet.
I'm
working on it.
Are you close?
Closer.
If someone brought in like ribs and they said that they had their own honey sauce, they made it.
Could
home,
I walk away?
You
from
could
them?
Not walk away. From
absolutely.
Them. No, you could not.
But if someone brings those in,
a brisket
today,
if Winston,
challenge accepted.
If a black man came in with a brisket that he made himself and put it right there, you would not walk away from it.
I'm willing to try this experiment.
You would never, ever, ever walk away from a brisket made by an authentic barbecue specialist. And by that, I mean an African-American male.
You know, I don't try it.
Winston sends me pictures of briskets. And I'm like, you're barking up the wrong tree, man. It looks nice, but he's like, I've been working on this since Thursday. Like, that's ridiculous. There's so much brisket available. It's not like we live in olden times.
It's an art, John.
No, it's not. It's just a meat. It's not an art.
Now, what if Wintermeyer shows up with his beach blanket
turkeys?
Yeah.
No. Brady wouldn't walk away from it, but I... Because you would go, let's see what kind of special blend the old Wintermeyer puts on this.
I tried his beach towel.
Yeah, of course you did. Because you wanted to see if he did anything special to it.
Yep. What do you got going on in your recipe for turkey?
Well, you wrap it in a beach towel. It tastes like Tide.
It was Febreze and elements of a bouquet.
Sitting on the floor next to Lane's desk for 3 hours before the whole thing started. I see Brady over there going,
what if I tied my hands behind my back? I bet you I could finish it with just my face.
And you were all over that thing. But yeah, Tommy Tuberville's right. I think he's an Alabama governor, but he was right.
He coached the UC Bearcats for.
Did he coach Cincinnati for a little bit? I know he coached a bigger team than that.
Yeah, he did.
Was it Clemson? I don't remember. But
I just like
he's right.
I just like the Jordans back in the day. Like just leaves his politics everything out of it.
And people will argue with you, devil's advocate, that's because you're white and you don't want to hear from anybody of another color about how they feel. Especially if you disagree with
him. No. I'm not even taking a standpoint on race, but even on his point when in the last dance when he was talking about like everybody was getting on him for not backing that black congressman, yeah, and he wasn't taking a stand on either side because he's selling shoes,
and he said, I don't see color, I see green,
right?
And people were like, people would be so mad if an athlete said that today. Could you imagine if one of the athletes, like, I'm not getting involved in this because it hurts my cash.
Yeah, I see green. That's
if
it.
You said that in 2021, that would be a huge controversy, which is crazy because back then we're like, good, stay out of politics. We don't need it in sports.
That's how I feel.
And now it's the other way. Like, if you said, I'm not getting involved in politics because I got to deal with Adidas and I got to deal with this company and that crushes my green. Democrats and Republicans, I don't see red and blue, I see green. They'd be like, you greedy mother effer. Because rich people get a bad rap, and all that guy was, and all Michael Jordan was saying was, I'm rich, I want to be richer, and I want to keep getting richer every single day, and I don't want my brand to be affected by this. And people were like, all right, well, I understand
that. Because that's his job.
Yeah.
He's not a political person. It's his job.
Right. And that's the best way I've heard it put. Your job is not to go out and be politically active. Your job is to play basketball.
Right.
That's your job. It's awesome. That's a great way to put it. And Michael Jordan's job at a certain time was to make a ton of money for Nike himself and everything else. And he did a great job. Yeah. And we kind of all want that. And there'll be people out there who disagree with me. I've never once been at a Buffalo Wild Wings or a bar sitting there where somebody's like, man, when are they going to get political? This game's boring. It's never happened. We've never watched a game hoping for more politics. Hoping for more charity work to break free in the center of the game. We all kind of are like, ugh, enough with shoving the charity down my throat. Enough. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to watch football and feel bad that I didn't do enough for breast cancer or I haven't done enough for the troops or, you know, whatever, prostate cancer. Play the game. Yeah. And you guys, if the NFL wants to, at a certain point, just say, here's a giant check we did for – that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's always –
I don't mind a charity event here and there, but don't shove it down my throat.
Or take a whole month. Or
that said, what's the over? We should do a drinking game tonight.
For the people that are yelling in their car, yeah. It's Auburn.
Auburn. That's right. Tuberville did Auburn. I know it was one of those southern schools. But, yeah, for the sake of a drinking game, tonight's draft, anytime they do sad porn or political activism. Because sad porn is going to – you're going to get drunk
fast. You're
not
going to make it through the top 10.
Top 10 picks. They're sad porn for every single story. They come up with how an
sad
uncle
porn.
Was – oh, they sad porn you to death. Watch the draft.
Amazing
sad
stories where they came from or what they had to go through.
Or something totally unrelated, like an uncle got shot.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, they don't even –
helping a kid.
Sorry, I heard porn. My mind went the other direction.
Sad
sorry
porn.
About that. Okay.
Wait a minute. All these dudes been crying chicks?
Like right on.
By the way.
Any bong shots?
Brady, amazing. Crying girl porn. There's something about it. It is.
I haven't tried that yet.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm in.
As a pornosuer, especially of late.
And how did you discover this?
I put in the search bar, crying women.
It wasn't a...
I did. Pornhub has
this
a search bar.
This wasn't on
bar.
A tip or anything?
No.
You just thought, crying women.
Sometimes, and we can all admit this, like when a woman cries, it's kind of sexy. Like their eyes get glassy. Like when they're done crying. Mm. Not to make them cry, but when they cry. And it's kind of sexy. Plus, it also has the exact same look when you've done your job with a girl. Like when you've closed them off, they look like they just got done crying.
Their eyes a happy cry?
Kind of red. No.
Oh.
Crying
because you just.
I don't know why they're crying. Look, play the game. Do your job. I don't even know. I don't know how we got here, but here we are. And you seem available to the idea of the porn now. It's porn. I don't have morals with it. Like, that poor girl's being mistreated. She's in on it. She's
look, I'm
in
curious
on it.
Now.
She's getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, she's getting paid. Yeah. She's doing the role. I don't go to Sophie's Choice and go, I can't believe this woman is acting this out. It's the same thing, only in porn. Whatever she's crying about. Usually her stepbrother owes her money, and there's only one way to get that back. And then she starts to weep, and he's like, well, you could if you know.
He's
and
the savior.
Stepbrothers are all the same.
I was actually thinking of
stepmoms
in a serious sense when you said when you see there's something sexy about a girl crying.
Yeah.
He's not saying give her a smack in
the
mouth.
I'm not saying make
her
cry. Yeah. I'm saying a woman crying.
And that's what I was saying. Like, it's a happy cry.
And maybe, just crying. You don't have to fix this for me. Don't worry about it. I got it. It's like if a woman cries, there's a vulnerability to it that makes a man feel like I need to be there for you. I think that's
comforting.
A natural comforting instinct. She's crying. I need to be there. And why do we want to be there for them? So we hope it kind of rolls into another thing. Anybody denying that's crazy.
That's why you slay it at funerals.
That is exactly why sad ladies are targeted. She's really down right now. She's pretty vulnerable. Oh, yeah. Well, it's crying girl porn is the thing. I don't want to watch them get beat up. That's a different genre.
Yeah.
But I don't mind a girl. Porn.
Look, if Brett were to pull it up this morning, I'm going to take a look at it.
You're going to look at it and you're going to be like, that's not bad. I think it's a human instinct for a man to immediately emote or be an empath towards a woman crying. And when you're on a porn site, you know exactly what that empathy is going to turn into. And that's great. Again, you're the knight. You're the guy on the white horse. That's essentially the fantasy.
Ladies, it's very effective. It helps.
Oh, if you cry, we're weak. Great. It's great stuff.
We can help your crying.
Yeah, I can. Wow, I can from a distance with a screen between us. I can do whatever I want to your crying. And I do. Yeah. Anybody that don't, I can't believe you do that. Please. I'm not doing anything. They took money for it. I have no issues with whatever goes on afterwards. After you got paid to do what you're doing, that's your own personal decision. In the end, if you feel bad about it, don't come down on me for beating off to it. You put it out there. Brady trying to fix my story.
I just want to make sure. I wasn't. I was just.
You're going to watch
there
it.
There was no fixing on that.
Yeah, there's some good crying girl stuff.
There's some good crying
here,
porn.
Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. Women crying porn. And another thing is that.
I was taking it outside of porn and saying, like, if a girl's crying, you're trying to help them. You're trying to fix them. And so some of them are, crying because they're so happy.
I'm not going to care if a pig's crying. I'm only hot chicks. Like, if a hot chick's crying, I automatically feel like I need to help. That's like if I'm standing outside the Fuddruckers and there's a beautiful girl crying, thinking to myself, I need to help this girl. If she's covered in like moles and she looks like a dugong, she's crying because she probably just saw a mirror. I'm not helping her.
Turn the
There's no help in that. She's going to see mirrors her whole life. It's just going to be a never-ending cycle.
Tears of sadness will turn into tears of joy. That's the goal.
Okay, Hallmark. All I'm saying is.
I'll put it on the card. I'll make some money on that.
You sounds like a David Foster song over there.
You just shut up and dribble right now. I got this.
There's no dribble, only shooting.
Yeah. Oh, you're a chucker? I don't need that. You're too short. Let's get a wake-up song. 585-9800. A good one. And we'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up! 98.
Station identification.